right, settle down. It's time to graduate a player from the ranks of Braves prospects. Right-handed pitcher, Spencer Robert Strider. Drafted in 2020 in the fourth round out of Clemson University, Strider graduates with a 3.64 ERA in one minor league season, pitching in 22 games and 21 starts. In 94 minor league innings, he struck out 153 unfortunate souls. Strider graduates as the number 3 prospect on the OFR prospect list and the top pitcher. Please give a warm send-off to Mr. Spencer Strider.
Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, we are back after a short 1 week sabbatical to deal with basically a whole bunch of end of school stuff. Matt, how are you doing?
Oh, things are going well. Yeah, between the new grandchild and various and assorted high school graduations in the family, it's just been not a lot of free time lately, but we're past that now, and we'll get back into the meat of the baseball season.
Yeah, it was to the point where we couldn't record on our normal night last night, and we tried to come up with replacement nights, and by the time we would have been able to get together, the week would have been half over anyway. So we decided to take a break, but we're back. We have a graduation. Spencer Strider got enough service time now. He is no longer considered a prospect, which leads me into my first question, Matt. When is he going to get a shot at the fifth starter spot?
I would hope. We are recording this on Monday evening, right after Tucker Davidson's ill-fated start against the Phillies. And if this doesn't prompt them to start Spencer Strider next time out, I'm not sure what the answer to that would be.
Yeah, it's if he doesn't start the next time they need a fifth starter, I don't think they will start Spencer Strider this year.
Yeah, I think because this is the time. I mean, if you're going to start him, because none of the other options are terribly appealing at this point.
Yeah, and let's just briefly go over those options right now and why we don't think they're necessarily appealing. Obviously, we got Tucker Davidson. One start, didn't give up any runs in 6 innings. That was certainly welcome. But even though there were some warning signs, he walked 3 batters tonight. Just really couldn't finish off any hitters. Frustrated, obviously, ended up pitching 2 2/3. If they decide to make a move for the next start in AAA right now, there's Wiskar Yanoa, who started out the season with the spot. He has looked better recently. I still don't think he's there yet.
I don't think so either. He's making progress. He's gotten knocked around some, especially in his first few starts, but did look much better last time out. He's not there yet. And I would be very hesitant to bring him back at this point, because then you're getting right back into the bounce him around game.
Second out of the chute was Bryce Elder. Kind of like Davidson, looked really good his first start, less impressive his last start, and then they gave him 2 more starts after that, just walked an awful lot of guys, which hasn't been real typical for him in the minors, and he's gone back to AAA. It's been kind of up and down for him. Had a good week this last week. But again, I don't think he's there yet.
No, he hasn't been. And he had the least amount of experience among all of these options. I mean, he has maybe around 10 total AAA starts now, even between last season and this season. I mean, he doesn't even have a half season full of starts. He was just showing so much poise and dominance during his appearances, whether it was in spring training or Equinet, that it almost kind of caused them to pull a trigger a little bit early because he forced their hand. But he's gone back down now. He's only made, I think, two starts since he's been back down. Now, his last start this past week, he did really well. He pitched 7 innings, struck out 11 and walked just 1. And he did give up 3 runs, but it was all on a home run in the 6th inning. It just basically it all came on one play. So, I mean, there's progress there, but of the options you're looking at Gwinnett, he's the least scary. I guess it's the best way to put it. And we'll go over a couple of the other options and why they're just not terribly appealing there.
So the next option is Kyle Muller. He did make one start for Atlanta. It did not go well. To me right now, he's a little bit like Yanoa. He's showing signs every once in a while, and you kind of squint and think, hey, maybe he's put it together. Maybe we can slide him in for a spot start. And then he'll have another start where he's having a hard time locating. Coming up to the majors with the adrenaline of that, it seems like it gets him every time. He starts overthrowing the ball, and I don't know if he's there yet either.
No, and you could tell in a Kyle Muller start, and I've noticed this all the way down to when I'm watching him here at Mississippi, you can tell very early on in his start if he's on or if he's off. I mean, I've seen him get knocked out in the first inning of starts, or he'll all of a sudden just take off on other starts and he'll pitch 2 or 3 dominant innings, and you know that's the way it's going to go for the day. But he pitched fairly well his last time out at Gwinnett, 5 innings, gave up just 2 runs, but look, dig deeper into the numbers. 6 hits, 3 walks, and threw 96 pitches in 5 innings. That's not what you want. The 2 run seems fortunate based off of those numbers.
And then we have the old man of the group. I say old man, he is only 25, but he's had the most major league experience. I'm talking about Touki Toussaint. Now, if you look at his stat page right now, he's got a 5 ERA. I do think that's slightly misleading. I think he's been a little bit unlucky, but he is also walking 5 per 9 innings. That's obviously not going to get it done. He's actually probably the option I probably would be least likely to turn to. I think Touki really needs that longer term makeover that Kyle Wright kind of got last year. And I would be super hesitant to bring him up right now.
Yeah, I would too. I just don't see it. I mean, if people were not impressed with what they got the last couple of starts out of Kyle Muller and Tucker Davidson, the Touki Toussaint experience probably would not be an improvement over what you saw in either one of those two. But the Braves are going to have to make a decision on Touki Toussaint in the near future. This is his last year with an option, and they're going to have to decide, okay, what's his future with the organization? Or is he going to turn into Sean Newcomb next season where you don't even have the option to option him back to Gwinnett?
Yeah, and that would be a huge shame. And just like Newcomb, Toussaint is extremely talented, and to be in a position where you're either stuck having him or having to DFA him would be a catastrophe, quite frankly.
I would think the route most likely at this point is similar to what happened with Bryce Wilson at last year's trade deadline, where he's part of a trade.
Well, we'll see if the Braves are in contention at the trade deadline this year, but maybe. Now, let's go a little bit outside the box. Let's maybe look down at Mississippi. I don't think anybody there is a candidate for the next start, so to speak, but I don't know. What about Jared Schuster? You got any thoughts on him?
Well, Jared Schuster, he had an interesting week last week. He had his first start on Tuesday. It was really, really bad. Only went 2/3 of an inning, gave up 3 runs, and it went as badly as a start could possibly go. Now, the promising news is he had his second start of the week on Sunday, and it went much better. He went 6 innings, gave up just 1 run, and I mean, it was a very, very nice bounce back from where he started off the week. And even with that horrible start he had on Tuesday, his ERA for the season is only 2.14. He's had a really good season down there, and I would not be surprised if he got promoted to Gwinnett in the not too distant future. But I'd say maybe a month from now. I'm just spitballing here. But even with the staff at Mississippi, there's other options there who are on the 40-man roster. But Freddie Tarnock or Alan Rangel, I don't see either one of those even remotely close to getting promoted to Gwinnett, much less to Atlanta.
No, they're clearly not ready. They need to spend more time in Double A. Schuster, you know, that one, you know, bad performance beside, I've been very impressed with what I've seen of him this year. He's attacking the zone. His changeup is truly a weapon right now. He's pitching much deeper into games this year. His walk rate is really good, one of the better in the Braves system right now. And his strikeouts are a little down from last year, but I think maybe that's helping him out a little bit, not trying to strike out everybody. He seems more comfortable, and he's getting more outs with fewer pitches. So, yeah, I think Schuster may be up in a couple weeks to AAA, that is. It'll be interesting to see who gets removed from the rotation in Gwinnett, and maybe that's handled by a promotion or somehow. But my hope right now is that they will finally move Spencer Strider to the rotation. I don't know what that will mean for the bullpen. They made a move. They DFA'd Tyler Thornburg, brought up Dylan Lee, who had been pitching very well in Gwinnett. But that you're talking about guys that you're probably hoping not to use anyway. Thornburg got very few opportunities in his 7 weeks with the Braves. So
There's no help coming, really.
No, the minor leagues at the reliever level, it's kind of tapped out. William Woods with his hurt ankle didn't help that. Hopefully he'll be back soon. But they're going to have to, as of the end of May, reduce the bullpen size by one anyway by rule. It could be one of anybody. It could be Lee going back down. It could be Darren O'Day getting DFA'd, though that seems unlikely. Could be Jackson Stevens going down, though he's been pitching extremely well. So I don't know who else. Jesse Chavez has been not great since he's come over for the Cubs. My guess is probably Dylan Lee, but that who they bring up, that's a whole nother discussion, because the outfield has been kind of a disaster as well. Are we talking Alex Dickerson again? are we talking about, you know, Delino DeShields Jr., who has essentially the same skill set as Guillermo Heredia and Travis DeMeritt? You know, are we talking about
Preston Tucker?
Preston Tucker, who we've all seen, and we've seen the Preston Tucker show. So none of that is overly appealing. You wonder if maybe they just bite the bullet and bring up a Drew Waters or a Michael Harris just to maybe inject some youthful excitement into the team and the fan base. I think that would be premature for Harris, at least. I don't think Waters is ready either physically or mentally yet, but I think he's closer. You have any thoughts on this, Matt?
Yeah, and Waters has not been healthy at all this season. I mean, it's been a long time down with the hamstring injury, and even since he's been back, he hasn't been playing full time. He'll play a couple of games, take a game off. It seems like they're just kind of bringing him along slowly after that. And then it was in Saturday's game, he was hit a pitch on the elbow and was removed from the game. So, and then he did not play on Sunday. So, I mean, I don't know how serious it is, but obviously, that's going to put a cramp on any kind of possible plans to bring him up. But I mean, from a defensive standpoint and a speed standpoint, I'm fine with him coming up. But I just don't feel like from his approach at the plate, he's ready for that at all. I could just see a 40-50% strikeout rate initially.
Yeah, I mean, and we were all excited when Waters went 4-for-4 in his first game back with Gwinnett. Since then, he's hit .238, .273, .333. So he's not banging down the doors. Again, the outfield situation, maybe it's better once Rosario's back, but you're still, at least a month
six
out.
Six to eight
that,
weeks, right? Probably. Yeah, okay. I mean, because I think the initial estimate was 8 to 12 weeks, and I think we're in about week 3 now. So,
oh my God,
yeah, And you know things are bad when we're waiting on the savior Rosario to come save us.
Yeah. We laugh about it, but you know, that was a surprisingly big effect, right? That forced Marcell Ozuna to play a lot more left field than we want. And tonight we had William Contreras in left field for the first time. And I think it's safe to say the results are mixed tonight. I don't think he's embarrassed himself out there, but also, the inexperience is showing. I hope this isn't enough to dissuade them from the experiment, because I think he's athletic enough to handle it. Maybe not every day, but, to get his bat in the lineup and also, not have to worry about whether you potentially could lose your DH if you try to get Darno and Contreras in the same lineup. I think it's an experiment worth following, but, it's the big league team is reeling right now in several areas, and it's not a lot of fun to watch right now.
No, and unfortunately, the simple answer is the current players have to improve. I mean, there's just not a lot going on from much of anybody right now. Most everybody is playing below their standards right now. Like Travis Darno's having a good season. Dansby Swanson's having a pretty good year. And, of course, Ronald Acuna, since his return, has done well. But beyond that, I mean, everybody is well below their norms. And you just can't deal with that on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, none of this would matter as much if Matt Olson was being Matt Olson and Ozzie Albies was being Ozzie Albies and, Adam Duvall, so on and so forth. But they'll have to look inside. You're right. There's no savior in the minor leagues that are going to come. And there's nobody that's going to make a big trade at this point either. The team just has to get better, and they need to show the front office that they're going to be in contention come the deadline. And we know that the front office will, if it's close, they'll go for it, right? But they got to show something.
And anybody who's been watching for this team for any length of time knows that Alex Anthopoulos is not going to make a panic move and bring up Michael Harris from Mississippi just because.
Yeah. If Michael Harris is coming up, he's coming up to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people suggest, yeah, bring him up for a couple of weeks. What can it hurt? Yeah, it can hurt.
Yeah.
You see what happened with Christian Pache when he was first brought up. And I mean, if it can stunt the development. Now, Michael Harris is banging down the door. He will eventually get the move, whether it's to Gwinnett or to Atlanta, but he's just not quite to that point yet, and they're not going to push him just for the sake of pushing him, trying to quote-unquote save their season.
Yeah. I think the Gwinnett move is within the next couple weeks.
I think so too. I wouldn't be surprised if it was within the week.
Yeah.
That's how close it is, because Michael Harris had a really good season, but his last week has just been, he's been absolutely dominant.
It's almost like a statement performance.
Yeah. Based off of the, they had the pregame package before Sunday's game on Bally about him, and just a lot of publicity out there. And I thought it was almost kind of setting him up for at least the bump up to Gwinnett, but it didn't seem that was quite the case at the moment.
All right. It was a pretty good week on the minor league side, so let's cheer ourselves up with that. You want to start with Gwinnett?
Yeah, let's do that. Gwinnett, they played a home series this week against Memphis, and they had a pretty good week. They lost the first game and the last game of the series, but they won everything in between. And based off of the having a winning series, they now have a .500 record for the season at 21-21. We went over the pitchers briefly earlier, but I'll get more in depth with it now. Bryce Elder had the best start of the week. 7 innings, struck out 11, walked 1, just had that 3-run homer. That was the only blip on his radar for the week. It was a very good start. It was in the 6th inning, and they let him come back out for the 7th, and he breezed right through the 7th inning. So that was a really nice way to end the start for him. I'm not going to review too much about it, but Kyle Muller had a decent start, although not very effective. Oscar Noah, he gave up 3 runs over 5 2/3 innings, and all the damage was done in the 6th inning. He gave up a solo shot and a 2-run homer. to finish off the start. First five innings were really good, but after that, it just kind of ran out of gas there at the end. He did strike out nine during this start. And Touki Toussaint had a decent start. He's 6 1/3 innings, gave up three runs, so not too bad on his part, and was an improvement over some of his most recent efforts. Now, among the relievers, there were some really good signs there this week. The first, what I wrote up in our piece this weekend, was about how well Dylan Lee was doing. And he kind of took over as the Gwinnett closer this week, and he had a couple of saves. And, of course, he was brought up to Atlanta today. And, in fact, he's in the game as we speak, pitching in relief. That's a really good sign. And hopefully he can make enough impression over the next week or so where he won't be the one optioned out at the May 31st deadline to reduce the pitcher size on the roster. It'd be nice to see him get an extended opportunity in Atlanta after the brief stints he's gotten over the last year or so. Most of the other the veteran relievers did pretty well this week. Brad Brock, Michael Tonkin, RJ Alanez, and Brandon Brennan. But the one we're really keeping an eye on, we're talking about there's not much help coming from the farm. There's one possible bit of help that might be coming in the not too distant future. Victor Vodnik is continuing to do well. He had two more outings where he did not give up any hits or runs, although he had a little trouble with the walks. But overall, he's had nine appearances this season between Mississippi and Gwinnett, and has not allowed a single run as of yet. So he's done quite well for himself. And I think he will get some run in Atlanta at some point this season, but I think he's still a little ways off from getting to that point.
Yeah, I agree. I did see his first outing with Gwinnett. It was very clear that he was struggling with nerves. The first two batters he faced, like nothing close. I think it was eight consecutive balls. And then fortunately got a double play and then a fly out to get out of the inning and preserve his his admirable goal of not giving up any runs at all this year. I would hope that other pitchers would take that up as well.
Yeah, I think in that first appearance you were talking about, I think it was, he got a ground ball to start a 3-6-1 double play, and I think that really helped get the nerves all out of his system. He just seemed really relieved after that, and he buckled down, and he's done well ever since then. I think he's going to get some run in Atlanta, but, I mean, I wouldn't expect him here in the next few weeks. Hopefully the William Woods injury is fairly minor, and he'll be back in the near future, and I think he's going to be the next man up. I mean, he made a couple of really impressive appearances, and I think Brian Snitker would really love to have him back in his bullpen. All right, going on to the position players. Drew Waters, mentioned him earlier about how he hasn't been doing particularly well. He did okay this week. He hit safely in all four games he played before he got taken out of, due to the injury I mentioned on Saturday. And we'll just have to see when he returns and what kind of progress he can make from there. Hopefully it's not anything major. He was hit on the elbow by a pitch. I mean, you never know. He might be back Tuesday, or it might be more of a long-term thing. But with all the he's been snake bit by injuries, and hopefully it's not anything that'll be long-term and hinder his development any more than it already has. Braden Shoemake, he has really come on as of late. He was 5-for-18 on the week. And one thing that's really impressive as of late, he's walking a lot more. We mentioned that he almost didn't walk at all at Mississippi last season and did not have a walk in his first 15 games this season. In the 18 games since then, he has 13 walks in the last 18 games. His walk rate over the last 18 games is 16.3%. He's only striking out 12% of the time, and he has a 893 OPS over that time, and that's without even hitting any home runs. So, I mean, he's really stepped up his game in that regard. And we mentioned that early on this season. I was like, look, I mean, if you're not hitting and you're not walking, you're not doing much of anything. But he seems to have really kind of changed his approach, and things are going a lot better for him in that regard. When I looked at how much he walked last season at Mississippi last year, in 344 plate appearances, Shoemake walked a total of 17 times. In 133 plate appearances this season, he's already walked 13 times. He might bust past that 20 and 21 total this week. I think that's the definition of progress. We already know he can field. He's been spraying the ball to all fields. I would expect him up this season, but I mean, he's definitely playing himself into the conversation for 2023, depending on what happened with Dansby Swanson. Now, looking around, and we talked about the outfielders. I mean, there's another kind of just a mishmash of personnel out there. But one thing to note, that Alex Dickerson has been getting a little bit of playing time in left field as of late. And it would not be the biggest shock in the world to see him being the addition when they have to add a position player next week. He did hit two home runs this week, and then you never know, he might be the guy, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. Chadwick Trump, who is another possibility, especially if William Contreras impresses this week and they decide to give him a little more run out there in left field, if they decide to bring up a third catcher next week. Of course, Trump, he is not, he hasn't been hitting like he has been. Of course, he's just been otherworldly for the past 2 to 3 weeks, but he just went 2 for 16 this week, but I wouldn't read too much into that. But that could be another possibility for the roster addition, is I would think it would give Brian Snitker a little safety net there, having a third catcher on the roster, because we've seen with Guillermo Heredia and Orlando Arcia, the last man on the bench is not getting a whole lot of playing time anyway, so it wouldn't be a total shock to see that, but not terribly likely. But they only have 38 on the 40-man roster as of right now, so they definitely have some room to play with. All right, moving on to Mississippi. Mississippi had a solid week as well, and much like Gwinnett, they took 4 out of 6 to improve their record for the season. They're now 18-21. So based off the dreadful start, Mississippi, they're just steadily climbing up the standings, and that was against the Biloxi Shuckers this week. And next week, they're going to be heading to Pensacola to take on the Blue Wahoos, but one interesting thing is that Pensacola was supposed to be playing in Montgomery last week and had most of their series knocked out due to COVID, and the games were just canceled altogether. So hopefully everybody's been cleared and they'll be able to come off with that series without any issue. We talked about the Jared Schuster a good bit early on in the show, where he was knocked out of that Tuesday start. During that Tuesday start, he only lasted 2/3 of an inning, walked 3, gave up 2 hits and 3 runs, and lasted just 34 pitches. They decided to pull the plug pretty quickly on that, and it was probably for the best. And then he rebounded on Sunday with that 6-inning, 1-run outing. And overall, although that one bad outing was a pretty bad blip on the radar, it was really, really promising to see him bounce back like that in his next start and didn't let it snowball. Now, Freddie Tarnog had another okay start. He went 4 innings without any problems, and then gave out two solo home runs in the 5th inning and then a 2-run homer in the 6th inning, and left with a no decision after 6 innings and 4 runs. Tanner Gordon had an okay start. He gave up 3 runs over 5 innings, but Darius Vines, he had a really good outing, and he was in contention for our coveted OFR Pitcher of the Week award, but it just missed out on that. But he allowed just 1 solo home run, and that was it over 6 innings, and he struck out 7. And he's on pace this season. He's striking out about almost 11 per 9 innings. So, I mean, he's had some ups and downs at Mississippi, but it seems to, when he's on, he's really been on over the course of the season so far.
Yeah, I don't think Vines is in any danger of making starts for Atlanta this year. But, you know, if the bullpen continues to be an issue and they're, you know, casting around for options, Darius Vines in the bullpen is an intriguing idea.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, I don't see him being a long-term starter option in Atlanta, but yeah, I mean, something, a scenario like that, why not? And you keep pitching like that, and I think if he puts together a handful of good starts in a row, because it seems like he'll have 1 or 2 good starts, then he'll lay an egg, and then have another 1 or 2 good starts. And I think if he puts together an extended run of success, you could move up the ladder pretty quickly. In the bullpen, they're having a lot of good arms over there this season. It's a lot different crew than there was last season, but Justin Mays is the closer. I think he's already got 8 saves on the season. Jake Higginbotham's done very well, and Tyler Ferguson has had a really good season. Tyler Ferguson's been in 17 games so far this season, and over a 16 2/3 innings, he's got a 1.08 ERA, so he's really helped shore up that bullpen. Now, as far as the position players are concerned, I mentioned Michael Harris briefly earlier, but he rebounded from his week last week, where it was probably his worst week of the year thus far, but he absolutely rebounded a big way this week. He was 9-for-22, had a 12.53 OPS, had doubles in 5 straight games up until Sunday, which he didn't even start Sunday's game. He came in late as a replacement, and even then he got a walk later on in the game and got him the position player of the week honors. And he had one really good game. It was on Saturday. He had a home run, a walk, a double and an outfield assist. he had kind of all over the place, but he did really well in that one. Another note about Riley Delgado, infielder, had a really good week. He went 11 for 21, hit .524, and scored 5 runs over the course of the week.
And stole a base.
Wow.
I can't believe it. Riley Delgado stole a base, which is, if you've been watching him long term like we have, that's a major deal. You think he's a fast looking guy, but he's not fast at all.
That's a lot of what people say about the likes of Johan Camargo and Orlando Arcia. It's like, oh yeah, they're infielders and they're small. They're gotta be really fast, huh? Not so much.
Going back to Tyler Ferguson for just a matter, I can't help but think of all the run he got in spring training. It was clear that Snitker and Kranitz and those guys enjoyed having him as a fence jumper. With the success he's having in Mississippi, I wonder if he might be a Gwinnett candidate here soon.
Yeah, because I can't imagine at some point soon. I don't know what kind of agreements they have with a lot of these vet arms they have there, because I know and you see some other teams now where somebody like Grant Dayton, he had opted out with the I think it was the Marlins. I can't remember who he was with early in the season. He opted out because he had that built into his contract. And I wonder if some of these Brad Brock, Nick Vincent types have anything built into their contracts where they can get out for any kind of opportunity. But at some point, I mean, if the Braves haven't used these guys by now, they might not be on the radar at all. And I wonder if they may end up cutting them loose one way or another to make room for some of these younger arms to come up. Indigo Diaz is another option, although he has not been pitching well. He did have 2 outings this week where he didn't give up any runs or hits, but he walked 2 in each 1-inning outing. So, I mean, he's definitely not at that point. He's had a really up and down season so far, but he's obviously on the radar to eventually make the bump up as well. But yeah, there are several candidates here in Mississippi that could, you've already seen it with William Woods and Victor Vodnik. So there could be several more arms coming in hot right after they do.
Yeah. Diaz, his command has really taken a step back from last season. Even his fastball, the velocity is there, but the life just doesn't seem to be quite as wiggly. You know what I mean? The fastball is a lot more straight than it was last year too.
Not a good recipe for success, but hopefully hopefully it's just a matter of making some mechanical adjustments and they can get him right back on the horse so he could, cause I mean, he's got the stuff and we saw what happened last season that, if he gets on any kind of run at all, he could find himself in Truist Park.
All right, so Rome is on a northern swing. They played the Aberdeen Ironbirds. Minor league team owned by Cal Ripken Jr., hence the name. They won that series 4-2. They next head to Hudson Valley, New York to play the Yankees affiliate, the Hudson Valley Renegades next. We always like looking at Roybert Salinas and his strikeout rate. Not a great week for him. He did strike out 7 in his first start. He got the bookend starts this week, but allowed 4 earned runs, which was enough for Aberdeen to win 4-2. The Rome offense basically wasn't there for about the first 3 games of this series, and then they exploded starting really over the weekend. And then, Dylan Dodd, who was both the South Atlantic League Pitcher of the Week and, more importantly, the OFR Pitcher of the Week, had a tremendous outing on Friday, 6 innings, only 3 hits, and led the Rome Braves to a 6-0 shutout. Justin Henry Molloy, Bryson Horn, Javier Valdez all went deep in that game as the offense really started to explode. Saturday night, Andrew Hoffman was pretty good, scattered 8 hits, allowed 3 runs in 6 innings. The offense again continuing to do well as they won 8-3 of that game. Javier Valdez again homering. He had a great week sharing time with Tyler Tolvay. Sunday, Salinas only went 2 2/3 and gave up 4 runs. I guess that would be called pulling a Tucker Davidson.
Too soon.
Too soon. Sorry. But Rome offense kind of bailed him out. This may go in history as the Vaughn Grissom game. He came into this this game Sunday in an 0 for 20 slump, which is not something I'd ever imagine that Vaughn Grissom would have to go through, because if anything, he makes a lot of contact, but just nothing was getting through. This game Sunday, he broke out of that slump just a little bit with a 3 for 4 game that included a double, a home run, and a straight steal of home. Just an amazing jump. He was almost at the plate before the pitcher even let go of the ball. So Vaughn Grissom just all over that game. And the bullpen just really stepped up. 6 1/3 shutout innings on Sunday. Jake McSteen, RJ Freyer, Davis Schwab, Ben Dumm, Dylan Spain, and Austin Smith all contributing to that. So a good road trip. Cody Milligan, we've talked about him. He continues to just get on base all the time. He had a 444 OBP again this week. I don't know how many weeks in a row that he's had an OBP over 400. He scored 6 times this week. Really good start to this road trip for Rome with the 4-2 series victory. All right, I guess we have to move on to Augusta now. Let's just say they were the downer of the week, unfortunately. They went to visit Charleston, the low-A affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays and the reigning league champion. And unfortunately, their trip went about the same as it did last year whenever they went to Charleston. They got beat up pretty hard. The best effort this week was actually on Sunday. Sunday was the one win. And it was also the first start by J.J. Niekro, who we had talked about being a really strong long reliever. And they finally put him in the rotation, at least for this game. Only allowed one run in 4 2/3 innings and struck out 6. So I'm going to guess they leave him in there for a little while. Tyler Owens came in relief in this one. He had been in the rotation. Now he looks like he's back out. He had 2 relief appearances this week. So maybe this is a scenario where they kind of piggyback a little bit, but for now, Niekro in the rotation and doing a nice job. Third baseman Geraldo Quintero went 6 for 18 on the week with 2 doubles. He's been hitting pretty well lately, it's been a tough go for him at third base. Committed 2 errors this week. One led to all of the runs scored for Charleston one game, and it was a disappointing week for that. Third base has not been a position he played a lot before last season. He had been playing in center field and at second base for the DSL Braves when he was down in the Dominican. I wonder if third base is a place they keep him for much longer. I think that his future may be in the outfield. Speaking of outfielders, Brandon Mosqueda continues to tear it up. He hit in every game this series. He went 8 for 25 with a triple and a stolen base. Now hitting .331, .403, .451 for the season. He's only had one game all season where he didn't get on base at least once, and that was back on April 12th. Again, we talked about this a little bit. Seems like Mosqueda may be in line for a move up here, maybe in a few weeks. He was kind of the one guy to have a really good week in Charleston and otherwise pretty forgettable time.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe in a near future when Michael Harris gets promoted, they kind of tie Michael Harris, Cody Milligan, and Brandon Mosqueda all together on promotions. It'd be interesting to see.
And maybe Tyler Collins up to Augusta.
Yeah, like to see what he can do this season. Yeah, I was looking at Mosqueda's numbers a little bit too. I know we mentioned JJ Negro. He's a kind of a sentimental favorite of ours. Brandon Mosquito was our sentimental favorite a couple of years ago. I think we like as not as a joke, but like just kind of like, yeah, let's look at adding him to the back of our top fit, the back of our prospect list. Just kind of, it's a nice story. I mean, he was part of the prospects that were removed when John Coppola got himself in a little bit of trouble with MLB, and he was
just a little
lifetime ban. But Mosquito was the only prospect to re-sign with the organization, and thought, I mean, if he ever makes anything of himself, especially with the way a lot of these other prospects that were removed have panned out, it'd be a really amazing story. And he has been doing very, very well for himself. I mean, enough to where he's on the verge of possibly getting promoted to high A. But I mean, I was digging the numbers a little bit. He's got a 141 WRC plus, not hitting for a ton of power, but I was looking at it, like, wow, he's got a 442 BABIP. That's got to be really rough when that comes back down to earth. But then I looked at last season, his BABIP last season was 452. I think it's almost a scenario kind of like Drew Waters was at Mississippi a couple years ago. I mean, you're spraying the ball around, you use all field, you're going to have a high BABIP until it proves otherwise. I mean, he's got a decent strikeout rate, about 25%. It's not this 30 plus stuff where you're just not going to make contacts. I mean, I don't see any reason why he couldn't keep this up as he moves up levels, but with hopefully developing a little more power than he currently has.
Yeah, I mean, he's still only 20 years old, right? Yeah. He certainly has the possibility for more there. But even if he doesn't, I mean, just a guy you can hit lower in the order and just know that he's going to make contact and he's got the wheels to put pressure on a defense. That's a valuable commodity.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on over the next few weeks, because I don't think he's going to be long for Augusta at this rate.
Yeah, well, we'll hope for Brandon Mosquito, and we'll hope for the other guys that we hope start moving up here soon. The last note here, MLB Pipeline reorganized their top 100 prospect list. No surprise, still Michael Harris, the only Brave that is on the list. I think the only one that might have been on there, again, would have been Spencer Strider, who, of course, is graduated, so we can't be. Nonetheless, there was a couple interesting things. Shea Langelier's having a great season for Las Vegas. He's moved up into their 40s now. And if I recall, the pipeline guys were kind of skeptical about Langelier's. It looks like they're coming around on him.
Yeah, I looked at his numbers last week. I mean, of course, obviously he plays in the PCL, so the offensive numbers are very inflated there. But I looked at his strikeout rate. He was in the mid-20s last season at Mississippi. It sounded like 18% this year.
Yeah. He's leveled up as a hitter, and you know, good for him. And I obviously we wish him nothing but success. But you know, William Contreras has come around too. You know, those two are about the same age. It'll be fascinating to kind of watch their careers over the next few years to see if the Braves made the right decision on their catcher of the future. Of course, you know, Oakland obviously had a say in that too.
Yeah, and of course, over the next couple of years, I mean, MLB is going to come into play on that as well, as far as like, okay, when do they go to the robo umpires? I mean, is that going to reduce the effect that pitch framing has on catching ability? So, I mean, that's going to come into play as well when and if they decide to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, Langelier's is obviously the better pitch framer of the two, but it's interesting. I think what it'll come down to is they'll put more emphasis, I think, on pitch calling. And I think that's something that both Contreras and Langelier's does very well. So we'll see. The A's have a lot of options at catcher. So I don't know when Langelier's will come up, but they got to be thinking about it at some point this year, right? I mean, he's just tearing up AAA.
Yeah, and as we've seen with their current center fielder, they're not afraid to just stick up anybody out there and just let them rip in no matter what happens.
Yeah, Christian Pache, not surprisingly, getting highlight reel catches pretty much every week. Also, probably not surprising, struggling at the plate, to put it mildly. You know, kind of one of the bottom dozen or so hitters in Major League Baseball right now. I still think he's going to figure it out. He's extremely talented and an intelligent young man. So, you know, he's probably in the right spot, right? Just let him face this Major League pitching and, you know, let him figure it out. And, you know, again, hope he has the best. You know, would it be that much difference having Pache from Adam Duvall, considering the way Adam Duvall has played this year. Yeah, it's I hate saying that, but you know, it is what it is.
Indeed, it is. But it's definitely going to be interesting to keep an eye on the various and assorted players in that trade over the next few years to see how it all pans out.
All right. You got anything else, Matt?
No, I think it's a really good week on the minor league side, definitely more so than the major league side. So hopefully it'll be a better week all around next week.
Indeed. All right, everybody, have a great week.
Have a good one.
No. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, c'est payé. J'ai allumé le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Non. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie.